Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. WWJD and Abba Father, sermon by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan. The sports fans in the group will know that the fourth and final round of the British Open golf tournament is taking place today. The British Open is a very important competition, one of the four so-called major professional golf championships. The most recent major golf tournament was the U.S. Open, which ended on Father's Day 4 weeks ago. The golfer who won was an American named Payne Stewart. As I watched him play on TV, I noticed that he was wearing some sort of bracelet on his wrist. There was never enough of a close-up shot for me to figure out exactly what it was, but a picture on the front page of the Sunday newspaper revealed that the bracelet had the initials WWJD on it. WWJD are the initial letters of the question, what would Jesus do? Jewelry and clothing and other memorabilia with WWJD on them are very popular in evangelical Christian circles nowadays. Payne Stewart has undergone a transformation in his life in the last couple of years, which he credits to his conversion to Christianity. When he accepted the winner's trophy at the U.S. Open, the first thing he did was give thanks to God. I have to confess a bit of ambivalence about such public displays of piety, although as a person who goes out in public wearing a backwards collar and a purple shirt, I probably have no right to such feelings. Of course, I am pleased to see Christianity getting any sort of attention at all that is not sneering and completely distorted. It is good to see public evidence of a truly changed life. On the other hand, there is always a whiff of the Pharisee in almost anyone who is extremely public about his faith. And even though I am now part of a thoroughly cleansed and perfected church, I still carry an embarrassing amount of snobby Episcopalianism around with me. At any rate, I want to suggest to you that even though it bypasses the issue of bracelets at golf tournaments, the fundamental message of this morning's epistle has to do with the question, what would Jesus do? The epistle comes from St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Romans is one of the two or three very most important books in the Bible. St. Paul begins Romans by laying out the points we discussed last week. We are all sinners because we all break God's laws all the time. Because we are sinners, we deserve to be separated from God and sent to hell. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross to forgive our sins and give us the promise of eternal life in heaven. As he says this morning, the wages of sin, what we deserve, is death. But the gift of God, better than we deserve, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What we need to do is admit that we are sinners, admit we cannot get ourselves out of our predicament, and we need help, and then accept the forgiveness Jesus brought for us on the cross. We can't put ourselves right with God. Jesus puts us right with God. Making that realization the center of your life is called living by faith. St. Paul goes on in Romans to meditate upon the fact that even though he has accepted God's forgiveness and has become a baptized and faithful member of the church, he still finds himself sinning. His conversion to Christ has not kept him from continuing to disobey God. He tries to figure out why that is so and what he can do about it. I hardly need to tell you that we are all in exactly the same position. St. Paul concludes that as long as we are in this world, we will be fighting a constant battle against sin, against disobeying God. We just can't help it. Before we are consciously Christian, we don't even realize that we have a choice. But after we have made a commitment to Christ, we begin to realize that every time a serious question comes up about what we are going to think, or what we are going to say, or what we are going to do, we choose. We choose between, if you will, WWJD on the one hand, and anything else on the other. Now what we have to remember is that God does not determine whether he will love us or save us on the basis of how many times we make right choices as opposed to how many times we make wrong ones. Jesus died to forgive us, period. St. Paul assures us that even though we will never be perfect in this world, God loves us anyway. The crucifix guarantees it. What St. Paul promises is that the more we ask God to help you make the right decisions, WWJD sorts of decisions, two things will happen to you. First, you will see that you really don't get as much pleasure and fulfillment out of wrong decisions and disobedience as you thought you did. That will incline you toward the will of God all the more. And second, you will find yourself wanting to obey him because you are grateful to him, not because you are afraid of him. God loves us, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. So whether you wear it on your arm or not, keeping the WWJD question in the forefront of your heart is simply a good thing. And we can keep the question there and apply it to what comes up every day without being afraid. For St. Paul writes in another place, we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.